Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Did I See Gaming Podcast, where we talk about how games change and how they change us.
That's so true. So well said.
Today we're going to talk about games that might benefit from a change in genre. So
genre bending, if you will.
Genre bending. I like that. That's good.
Much like which, the hit Avatar.
Which games have done.
Which games have done.
They have done. More recently. I found several times when I was like, you know what would be cool?
Yeah.
Halo is like a top-down twin-stick shooter. Whoops, it already exists. Yeah.
I'm like, or okay. How about Halo as an RTS?
RTS,
oh,
yeah.
It's been done.
Pretty good, too, actually.
But just the more popular Helldivers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, that's
the original
example.
Was
yeah.
just a isometric
twin-stick.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Twin-stick shooter. Yeah. And then now they went third person,
yeah.
all
and
action,
up.
And it
I
blew
think the first
up.
One was
and I thought,
a huge popular. Improvement.
And I was just like, what games could change genre and be just as successful?
I was listening on my Spotify, and it's like a new release song, and it was like a Helldivers 2 song.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's official, because it's got the Helldivers emblem. And it was so bad. It's like democracy, you know, like official. Screaming about democracy
oh, no.
and stuff.
They've taken it. They've taken the bit too far.
Yeah.
Well,
anyways.
Oh, well, I'm Tay. I've got Ryan to my right. And then, of course, we've got Jared.
Hey, I'm Jared. Hey.
Hey,
I'm the Ryan one.
I don't know
glad
if you
guys.
See me, but hey.
Glad to have you guys back again.
Glad to be here.
So
I'm excited about this topic. I wasn't at first because it was very difficult.
Yeah.
This one
seemed like you were
me.
Stressing just a little bit.
For me, I was looking at the genre bending topic, but at the same time, I was like, I want to pick something that, like, really accentuates what I like about the game. Like, mm-hmm. what is a genre that would really bring out all the things that make the game so compelling for me?
Yeah.
And like finding very specific examples of that
yeah.
that don't already exist.
Right.
Turns out is a bit of a challenge, but I managed it. So I'm excited.
Good. Okay.
I took games that like, there's a lot of games that I really like, but that's not necessarily the aesthetic of don't like hit home for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or the opposite, where the aesthetic really hits home for me.
Okay.
But, like, the mechanics could do with some changing.
With some work. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like, that's kind of what I focused on for this list.
Yeah.
I don't, who wants to go first?
Well,
is it?
Why don't you go
Taylor
first?
Taylor gets Jared. To pay.
Okay.
Or not Jared.
I thought you were throwing us a curveball. You looked
yeah,
at Ryan
right.
and you were like, why don't you go first?
Jared. Yeah, that's right. Because he was the one who was stressing about it the most.
That's true.
So.
Jared was stressing about it the most?
Yeah.
On Wednesday, he was just like,
what
do
I do,
what
guys?
Do I do? Yeah.
Ryan was like,
and the next day, he was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, but
Ryan, why don't
yeah,
you go
Ryan,
first?
Why don't you give it for the example?
I'm curious to see what you...
What I want is Fallout
mm-hmm.
to go a little bit back to its roots.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful. But not necessarily just going back to like a... adventure game, like point and like a clicker type mm-hmm. game mm-hmm. that it was. It's almost D&D-esque, the first Fallout.
It feels
Fallout.
Much more like a Baldur's Gate
yeah.
style game.
And I'm not really wanting that. I'm wanting like XCOM type style, but with settlements added
okay.
in. Because in Fallout
marking
4...
Marking a game off the list.
Fallout 4
yeah.
does the settlements, but it feels like two separate games the whole time. It feels like you're
yeah.
playing Fallout,
mm-hmm.
and then you're also then going back and playing The Sims Apocalypse style.
Yeah.
You know, and like
I could see that
you're building up these defenses and they never seem to matter.
Yeah.
Except like you'll just be tinkering at your workbench and then you'll hear your turrets go off and
right.
you go outside and the threat's gone. You're like,
yeah.
Those turrets did their job. Cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. That was fun. But
theoretically that yeah. was fun. I don't
yeah.
know. I wasn't here.
Yeah. 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 How'd it go, guys? But and then you can, they did that one, DLC content where you could put the security cameras up so you could just
watch.
From a bunker while your turrets take stuff out, which is kind of neat. But
right, yeah.
I want to be able to see, like you are a vault dweller,
mm-hmm.
and your vault now has to leave this and go out into the apocalypse wasteland. So you're, like, running out of food or whatever it is that forces your people out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you, like, maybe you create a character or maybe you just, like, kind of manage these people, like... the Fallout Settler game,
mm-hmm.
what's it called on mobile?
Shelter?
Shelter.
Fallout Shelter, yeah.
Yeah, like, you just, like, kind of manage them.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, having a character. Or like Baldur's Gate 3, where you have like a party or something like that. But yeah. I want to see like you take your vault dwellers out in the wasteland and you have to do like settlement management and like inventory and resource management from like a top down, like, I don't know if I want grid based. I think I'd rather see it like Baldur's Gate 3 style combat.
Okay.
But you can
maybe like a zoom in, like a grid based management. But then when combat happens, you zoom into like a more of a Baldur's Gate style freeform.
Yeah. Movement. Like if you're building your settlement, you're on a grid base kind of thing with like your structures, your grid base, but like turrets and things like that aren't on the grid. You can place them freely.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm going into a lot of detail about like specifically how I want all the mechanics to function.
Right.
But I would love to see that like a, I don't even know, like, it's like XCOM meets Baldur's Gate.
Okay.
And that's what I want Fallout to do. So I kind of want it to go back to its roots a bit.
Yeah.
But explore that with, like, settlements.
Go back to the start and then branch off in a different direction.
Correct. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I love the Fallout games, first-person shooters, but, like, first-person shooters aren't what I gravitate towards. I gravitate towards RPGs.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of Fallout ends up feeling more like a turn-based first-person shooter because you're going into the VATS mode where you're selecting which part of them you want to shoot. And stuff.
Especially if you're playing on console and you have to use the thumbstick to aim, which doesn't feel great in 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. But if you're using a mouse, it's a lot better.
Yeah, that's always been its greatest weakness for me. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what, like, my idea was actually, like, I want Civ, like the Civilization games, where it's hex-based tiles and you're building structures and you're researching technology and all that stuff. I want that with Fallout. Mm-hmm. That like, but because a big motivating element of Fallout for me is the politics between all the different factions. Mm-hmm. And I've always, like, the reason that I kind of fell off of the Fallout franchise after 1 and 2 are because in 1 and 2, your stats make such a monumental difference in how you can play that game that if your intelligence is set to 1... you can't speak English in the first game. You just like grunt and stuff. And it's so funny because people respond to that.
Yeah.
Like they acknowledge that you're not speaking English. Yeah. And I find that really compelling that like, obviously the opposite end of that is if you only put points in intelligence, you're like problem solving without violence, which I think is really interesting.
But when you use violence, it's funny.
Always.
Yeah.
So I want to see that in a game like that. Yeah. I would want to see the politics played out that, like, I am managing my, whatever, hypothetically, let's say they leave the shelter and now they're having to repopulate like they want to. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have to engage in politics with the other groups that are also on the surface now.
Yeah.
And seeing that in a Civ style where you're, like, bartering or you're trying to keep them from attacking you or whatever the case might be could be really, really interesting stuff. I think like the mechanics are kind of already there. They just need to be reinterpreted somewhat.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that would be awesome.
I think it'd be great to see like you go out with a group of vault dwellers. Like you have like maybe like, I don't know, 8 people to start off with and you're managing them, putting them on different jobs and settlements.
Right.
And even some are for like recon type stuff or like scouting type stuff.
Kind of a deep cut, but a bit like Majesty, where you're like, you're managing a kingdom and you have people coming in that are working for you and doing jobs and stuff. Yeah.
And Majesty's a game that I want to talk about.
Okay.
But not on this episode.
Okay. Okay. I think this is the closest we've come to both picking the same thing, right? Like we've never had a duplicate before now. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I'd like to see the Vault Dwellers, like each one has a different personality. And as you figure out these, as you find these other factions in the Fallout universe, like the Brotherhood, the Outcasts, the Synths, and things like that, if people have different opinions on that stuff politically. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out a way to resolve these issues or just like figure out who to kick out of your settlement.
Or send them as ambassadors to keep the peace because they are a ghoul.
There could be a lot of interesting things.
I agree.
Relationship-wise, political-wise.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be. I think that would sell like hotcakes, and like Bethesda loves to do, give you tons of content you can download and pay.
Civ
for.
6 is still releasing. We love DLC, to do that. So yeah,
we love to keep paying for a game.
This one gives your ghouls party hats.
Yeah,
it's $9.
Yeah,
and you can like discover other vaults, open up those vaults, and convince some vault dwellers to join you, or you can just like mix your vault dwellers with whatever factions you align with.
Yeah.
Get synths to like start fighting for you or do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hire the robots.
But yeah, like as you progress, yeah. like in, maybe instead of a technology tree, you progress in like a social tree where as you get to know these cultures, yeah, it becomes like to easier to engage, or you can engage more deeply that like at first, all you're doing is keeping them from attacking you, but eventually you can exchange technology or whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, I just think it's really cool. Like there's so much fiction in that universe already that just is waiting to be used. And I think that's one thing about Fallout. It's like, it's in the story, but a lot of it is just like you read stuff in passing that tells you about this history and stuff. And I'd really like to engage more directly with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. That's a great one.
Yeah, instead of saying that as like one person leaving the vault, what would it look like if a group left the vault and tried to
stay together?
And No, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Instead of the shelter games, which is like just upgrading your vault.
Yeah.
And things like that. I played a little bit of that game when it came out. I don't know what it looks like now, but that's what it was when I played it when it came out.
You could even flip it like you run out of resources in the vault, but you don't want to leave. So you have to, like, as a group, you start going out and bringing stuff back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then your vault becomes this, like,
and that's
homogenized.
That sounds like shelter to me.
Yeah. Well, I think I don't remember shelter all that well because it was a lot of waiting for things to finish being built.
You would send people out in the wasteland to gather
things. Oh, you did? Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind then.
Yeah. I never played it, so.
Yeah. Don't.
I have no. I think it didn't really seem interesting to me.
It seemed interesting to me, but.
I like the premise, but the execution is just.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And that's probably what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like.
But I love the art, like. The Fallout, like, I don't know what you call it, but the cartoony stuff, like old school cartoony look on this stuff.
It's, the whole thing is in, like, the Pip-Boy style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I even like the original art of the first two games a lot. Like, I'm like, that aesthetic is really cool.
When I first was
introduced. It's almost like a Sega CD style, like, everything's very rounded, all, like, no hard edges.
I actually remember the first time, it was Ben Alcala. Finally, a shout out to Ben.
Finally, he's gonna.
But
text
I went over
me.
To his house, and he had this game, and of course, I just saw like the cover of it, which was the Brotherhood of Steel helmet for the first game or whatever. And he's playing it, and I'm watching him, and then it has like the 3D animated characters on screen when you go to talk to them, and I was just like, "What is this?"
Yeah,
like we hadn't seen anything like that before.
Cool.
It was
It was very striking at the time, I think.
Oh yeah,
and that's. Something that's always struck me, and like Morrowind does it a little bit, but Fallout, I think, in particular, is like the range of things that you can, the range of ways to approach a problem.
Yeah,
I love when games give you, you know, like Deus Ex, Neverwinter, all those games are like that. Mm-hmm, that, like, I never got past the tutorial level in Neverwinter because I just wanted to make a new character and solve all those problems in a different way and see what I found. So. I wish they would like double down on that in the new Fallout games.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We'll see.
But I also just like to see the mutated creatures too in the wasteland.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to defend bases against those giant mutated creatures.
Right, yeah.
Fallout tower defense game.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That one's a freebie. That's not on my list.
That's right.
This would have tower defense elements, but it wouldn't be considered like a tower defense
game. A tower defense game, yeah.
Well, we'll see how mine
turns. This would probably be a game, if I were to create a game, this would be like something I'd want to tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
No, sounds awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to
never do
give you a cease and desist when you start making it.
I can't wait for them to listen to this podcast and then pay me lots of money for mine.
Perfect. I love that.
I just got Venmo'd $10,000.
Yeah.
That seems a little low to me. But.
I was going to say,
Well, that's just
hush on the end.
That's the upfront money. You know, that's just to get you started.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so for me, big tonal shift, but I'll get the one that feels the most obvious to me out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it would be really interesting, and I think there's a lot of potential for the same reason as Fallout, to have a Zelda game that is a turn-based RPG where you're like in the Breath of the Wild world, like that, or the Tears of the Kingdom world with the sub-area and everything, where your party members are all like much more in depth in terms of their mechanics.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking like having a party of like Link and Zelda where they all have their own like skill trees, basically where like hypothetically this is off the top of my head. I know Zelda can do, or I know Nintendo could do much better. But like, if you have like a Ganon trying to connect different dimensions to bring multiple Ganons in, then there's going to be multiple Triforces, and maybe you're collecting different Triforces from the different worlds.
Okay.
And those themselves are the skill trees. So you give a Triforce to a particular character.
Yeah.
It modifies which skills they can learn. But they have like skills of their own that are themed around that character and what they do. So like you could bring Sheik in and she has her own unique skills.
That'd be awesome.
And or you could have like joke characters, like the guy in Tears of the Kingdom that can never get the sign to stand up. He's always like, how do I get this sign to stand up?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I think it would be really, there's tons of personality in that game, and to translate that into like mechanical features would be really interesting. And I think there's just like, I know a lot of people complain about like the breakable weapons in that game and stuff, but those fights are so focused on like problem solving and the mechanics and stuff, and like the dungeons are all built in. There's just so much room for adaptation with all the stuff that already exists.
Yeah.
I think it would be really compelling to me to see what they did with something like that.
Yeah.
And I think it would adapt itself really well, but also really uniquely. I think the way that they could make a TTRPG would be
I would want to have
really cool
Ganons on my team.
Hypothetically, maybe you could.
Yeah, I mean,
like you said, I don't want to get too deep into the individual mechanics. But I just want to give some examples of like why I think it wouldn't just be another generic RPG.
Yeah.
They use the name to sell it. Right. Like, I think it could actually be something.
Well, having unique. A JRPG, but like, with all the personality of a Zelda game, already give it like a leg up on the competition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
it would definitely get eyes on it.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
quickly.
I think. And it would be a hate or love type thing, just like with any genre Switch.
Yeah. But like all the cast of characters in those games, I mean, you could pull from and then just make their own.
Give
you
me the Goron. Give me Dumpe. Give me the Gravekeeper.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Yeah, there's just like so many interesting characters that could do unique stuff.
Yeah.
And if you're pulling in different enemies.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it anymore, man. It's just disappointing that it doesn't
exist. It doesn't exist already.
Yeah. So when you're talking like your genre Switch, you're going...
Ryan, I just said I don't want to think about this anymore.
You're going to JRPG?
JRPG turn-based.
Yeah, I want turn-based party.
When you say turn-based, you mean just like...
I mean four dudes lined up in a row.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify so I could picture it in my head.
You know what? I think they could take it a step further in my suggestion.
Wait, is this on your list?
I want a Fire Emblem Zelda game.
That's what I was picturing when he first...
That's what I want.
Yeah, when he first started talking.
Yes. Like Three Houses, but in the Zelda universe. That's what I want. I want Ganon...
That half exists.
I mean, the Warriors game? No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
I thought the game was all right.
Building relationships. But I want... Here's what I want. I want Link to not be in the picture at all.
Okay.
And I want Zelda to be the general...
I think that would be cool. Yeah, she's very like...
But I also want Ganon to be part of that. I want there to be a bigger threat.
You want a new big bad.
I want a new big bad.
Mm. The enemy.
I do. I always appreciate a story where two people that don't like each other have to work together. Because I think the dynamic is... There's just a lot of potential, basically. Yeah, for like really interesting developments and dynamics between the characters. And
right. Like, what if... Ganon and Zelda have to work together.
And then maybe they're not so bad.
Well, and the thing, like, you get almost like this Game of Thrones flavor where they have to help each other, but at the same time, both of them are trying to keep an eye on the other one because they know that they're going to take advantage of any opportunity to, like, come out on top.
Right.
Which I always think is really interesting.
I just picture some sort of threat that Ganon summoned because he keeps losing.
Right.
And
he's
like so desperate that he just summoned something out of his control. Yeah. That sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But I want like that. So it's either you can pick Zelda or you can pick Ganon. And I want those to be like your main characters.
I want an RTS. Just bokoblins everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just send them to their doom,
tens
bro.
And thousands of them. Yeah. But... explore Hyrule Castle as Zelda, and you're getting gear, and you're trying to, and of course, then you recruit all the Gorons, and I don't know what the fish people's name, what their name
Zoras.
Yeah. Recruit them, and then Ganon, you know, he's staying in the castle with them because he's got all his Gerudo.
He's in the basement.
Know? So they're... So, but all the cast of characters that you were talking about, it's like, what if you could put them on the battlefield? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, that's something that I would love. 100%. You could build relationships that way. And
I'd be interested to see both, but like a JRPG, I'm trying to picture, like, how could you incorporate the new building from Tears of the Kingdom? Or have you just like excluded?
I don't know. Well, I think the building is probably going to be abstracted into an upgrade mechanic. Where mm-hmm. you're not using physics to build anything, mm-hmm. but it's like most like modern RPGs have some kind of like home base element where you're upgrading that, and then it allows you to craft a higher grade of weapons or mm-hmm. recruit better people or whatever the case, or maybe it like lets you, it could be something that's built into the structure of the game where like you open a new portal so that you have access to new characters. Mm-hmm. This is sounding like a mobile game a little bit. And I'm scared of that. But,
I don't know how much thought you've put into it, but like, what about
too much? What else would you like to know?
What about in terms of exploration, like outside of combat?
Well, my first instinct was like open world, like Final Fantasy, like where you are like running around as a big character mm-hmm. on a map. Okay. You know what I mean? Where the scale has been shifted mm-hmm. so that you can see where you are. Mm-hmm. But I think like all the Zelda already builds dungeons into the unique cultures of the world. So like Zoras have their own temple. Mm-hmm. Gorons have their own temple. So as you're moving to the different parts of the world, you're going to be going into dungeons, mm-hmm. like Persona style.
Right, okay.
That are themed around those characters. And Zelda also already has puzzles built in, so you're probably doing puzzles in those areas that are unique to them.
Right.
And I think it would be, one thing that I think would be super interesting is Zelda's always been giving you tools that are like always meant to have some utility to them where they serve a practical purpose and you can use them offensively mm-hmm. or defensively.
Yeah.
And I think like that plays right. You probably get new tools, mm-hmm. not ones you've seen before.
Yeah.
Or at least mixed in, but they're like the hook shot. Like if you equip one of your characters with a hook shot, then they can stun enemies for a turn or whatever. Okay. You know what That's I mean? Cool. It's like there's tons of potential for adapting that stuff in a way that I think would be really interesting. I would like to see any RPG do that kind of stuff, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just hyped. Just hyped now.
I'm just hyped.
High off my own supply. Mm-hmm. I feel like I like the two genres equally. So I would love to see like a real-time one. I thought that they did interesting stuff with the like Dynasty Warriors style mm-hmm. one that they did with Zelda. But I do think that they kind of stopped short of actually making that game stand out on its own. Like,
yeah.
They did a few things, but it felt like it was like, let's get this thing out there.
Yeah.
Let's move past this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if they really doubled down and committed to making something that was like fully transitioning.
Yeah.
What makes Zelda thematically Zelda into that?
Well, they're always talking about like the war after the war. And it's like, how about the war?
Let me see the war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to see the war.
Yeah. Exactly. It is interesting that they shy away from the actual major conflict of that game by just skipping to or like behind
you
or
ahead.
You just
see like cutscenes and like people talk about the war.
Even barely. Yeah. Like Zelda's like, the war was bad. I'm like, what? You want to give me a little more to go on?
Right,
than that?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And why wasn't I there? Mm-hmm. I guess you were. Without Link, I think would be really interesting. I think you would upset a lot of people, but I think it leaves a lot more room for characters that exist to be
in the spot.
Much more present.
Is there like a narrative reason Link isn't there in your mind, or are you just like tired of Link?
Well he in could Breath be, of the he Wild, could be he's like, in, he's in like he always is. Right? He's asleep and slumber.
Right, okay, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, well, what do you do when Link's not there?
What if there's what if like mid-game you wake Link up or something?
Yeah.
Or like
you I mean, that could be the goal is to wake Link up.
Yeah.
And you get him, but you have useless. Ganon has to work with Zelda to wake Link to defeat this higher power, and they have to work together.
Yeah.
They have to work together, and Ganon's like, you know.
You have to convince Ganon, like, we need Link. And Ganon's like, no, we don't need Link.
Yeah. Well, and the whole time Ganon is like, when that dude gets here,
Exactly.
I'm going to just blap him immediately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that sets up the next game then, yeah. right?
Like, well, just like lots of tensions, lots of, I don't know, lots of politics with that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just want Zelda to have her own voice in a game mm-hmm. that's not mm-hmm. just Link.
I think they've gotten well, they she got does a, lot a bit closer,
better but, in the next. The last I mean,
I don't
titles.
Think it's far enough. I would love yeah, to see them put her fully front and center because,
yeah, exactly,
especially after the last game, like it does just enough basically they to make her like seem very leader. Competent, yeah. very yeah, like right. like yeah. A very good, not necessarily a foil to Link, but like they're like yin and yang.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
like she compensates for his inability to speak.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better yeah. explanation,
you could right. combine them and make the perfect being.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do it. Do yeah. it.
But I just want that. I just want yeah, Zelda to go really around, yeah. get some troops.
Okay, well, that was like, your first one, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's it, man. That's what
coming I'm coming in 2026.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
So, Ryan, it's back to you, I guess.
Is it really back to me? You want to?
Yeah, no, that was mine.
That was his okay. Dynasty
Fire
Warriors
Emblem.
Adaptation.
No.
Dynasty Warriors. Okay. He just wants to press the same button for 150 hours.
I don't want that. I want the tactical so we've taken, Fire Emblem.
We've
Sorry.
Taken games yeah. that are like action packed.
We have.
And yeah. we've slowed them down.
That's true.
Strategy.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you getting ready to flip that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Flip okay. it.
I would like to see. Well, this is actually an action packed game. This is Bloodborne.
Okay.
I love the setting of Bloodborne, but I also like the combat of Bloodborne.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the setting of Bloodborne. Freaking draws me into that game.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Yharnam.
Right.
But I want to be in Yharnam, but not as a hunter. And I'm thinking Penumbra Amnesia type game.
Oh, you mean like just dude lost in this city, like get me yes. out of here?
I want to be a member of the Healing Church, actually. And you're on a mission to deliver blood to a hunter who needs it.
Oh, man.
That sounds dope.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Well, you get to this hunter, and it's too late for this hunter.
Yeah.
He's a beast. And now you yeah. have to run from him, and you're okay. in Yharnam.
Okay.
Trying to
now escape. It's Outlast.
Yes. Yeah. Now you're trying to seek out other members of the Healing Church for yeah. like sanctuary, okay. but they just keep dying off.
Yeah.
From hunters just going too feral.
Okay.
So it's like backfiring. On
yeah.
the Healing Church.
I like this.
And that would be like you're like solving puzzles like you do in Amnesia games, and yeah. for people who don't know about Amnesia,
mm-hmm.
it is like a horror game where. You don't get to fight back a lot. You have to right. think on your feet as just a person
mm-hmm.
that has no powers or anything like that, and use your brain to either like solve puzzles or escape from danger. And like before Amnesia, that company created, I can't remember the name of the company, but they made Penumbra,
mm-hmm.
which was like a passion project, and you could just download it direct from their website. And it was like one of the first games I can think of that would use like physics, mechanics where you can like barricade doors with chairs
right.
or like just throw stuff in front of doors as you try and like turn around and solve a puzzle while this monster's mm-hmm. like breaking through a door. And I want to see that kind of stuff in Yharnam. That'd be amazing.
That is that's a
really fun idea.
That's a great
I
like that. One. I love
I have nothing
that
to add because I don't know enough about the fiction to give you mechanical adaptations yeah. of the fiction.
Yeah. You know what?
I would play that.
To be able to see that stuff like in a first-person view,
yeah,
like the amygdalas or amygdala yeah. or whatever. Oh my gosh, dude! That'd
I would think incredible. It would be
like
cool.
you turn a corner and there's like.
I think it'd be dude, cool if you be. Like at first you see none of the amygdalas, right. and I don't know if the game pronounces it amygdala or the amygdala, like
yeah.
the actual part of your brain,
right?
Or but it, amygdala sounds more like a god name, yeah. which is what I think is intended,
right?
Like, at first you don't see that stuff, but maybe you find, like, some sort of glasses or something. Because you don't have a way to level up in this game. Okay. Or maybe you do. Just depends on...
Like a light RPG.
Yeah, maybe some sort of light RPG with, like, skill tree type of mm-hmm. thing. But I would almost rather not see that. Okay. More of, like, maybe a crafting thing to, like, resource management.
Things that you have a single use of.
Yeah, like a Resident Evil.
Helps to maintain okay. the tension a little
yeah,
bit more.
Yeah.
That's what I was, like, when I was thinking about when you were talking about it. Yeah. Like, when you're in the village
mm-hmm.
and you first get dropped down and you're getting chased down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. But you can't attack in this one. The one you're...
Yeah. Less attacking.
You don't want to
attack
a feral yeah. hunter.
More like you could...
I don't think you stand much of a chance.
Yeah. You could craft stuff that would like deter them or buy you time.
Okay.
But you yeah. mostly have to hide
blood.
And move forward. The blood. Yeah. So I don't know what the end goal would be of that game. Like,
okay.
Like if it's just survive or like if someone could come up with... story-wise
yeah
like some sort of end goal
yeah
but I don't know
that's a great idea yeah, cool. I love that
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Beasts all over the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But
and you just turn a quarter, dude, you got like three of the freaking werewolves. And yeah.
I like the idea because I've always been most interested in the fiction of that game. And I feel like in a setting like that, you have to have a lot more communication about like the other members of the church that you're like trying to get to. And I'm assuming you will have conversations with about what's happening and stuff. It's a much... not more interesting, but it's a very different way of communicating the narrative of that game and the universe of that game.
So I do have a question. So would you have like, would it be like more linear, or would you have like, you're part of the healing church. You have to deliver the blood to the hunters so they can keep the beasts at bay. Would you have like a meter for that, or how would you... Or would it just be like more of a linear story, just following
kind of my head first? I pictured a linear story, but you do bring up a good point. Like maybe there could be a mechanic of like keeping hunters
alive,
fueled with blood.
Yeah.
So they're not, they don't go super feral.
Yeah.
But
I could also like.
Like a balancing mechanic where like you never have enough blood to like preserve all the hunters. So you kind of have to pick and choose.
Yeah.
And depending on who you choose, like. You'll have to move in different directions. Like this one patrols a certain area of Yharnam. So if they go feral, it's much more dangerous to go there.
Right.
And you'll have to collect supplies from a different region or whatever. Like I think there's a ton of potential for really interesting interactions there. Yeah.
To see like a fight going on between like hunters and some like feral giant beast.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to get through it and navigate through this fight. Yeah.
Well, I think another thing is like, you also have an opportunity to preserve the other thing I really like about the Souls games, which is like that sense of progression in connecting the world. Mm-hmm. So like maybe a big part of it is like you have to find supplies that let you create shortcuts to new regions or whatever. Like there's no ladder. You have to find the stuff to build the ladder. And then once you do, you can take that shortcut to outrun
and then it's permanently there after you
right
done it.
And that's like cool. As you connect the world, new areas become open to you and stuff.
I think that's a good idea. Like take the world wrapping of Dark Souls 1 and but you're having to constantly go these routes you've taken before, but now you're unlocking new routes to either like find new areas, but what the goal is of finding those new areas, I'm not sure. I'd have to have like a,
it might just be like members of the church are like holed up there
Maybe.
Because maybe there already is a feral hunter and they're like, I don't have any way to get out because I can't, I'm not on the outside. I can't gather supplies to like make any kind of progress. So,
yeah. In my head, this game was just essentially like an amnesia game
in
the Yharnam setting, which
just do a fan mod.
Machine for Pigs was kind of close aesthetically.
Oh, was it? Okay. I never played it.
Mm-mm. It's the closest. Well,
I'm bad at those games. I get way too nervous.
Me too.
Maybe the Dark Descent is closer. I think so.
It's really important that you tell us correctly which one is more.
The Dark Descent has
which one is closer to
kind
being
of no one more aesthetic feel to maybe more of a Dark Souls game.
Okay.
Because the Machine for Pigs has some like steampunk stuff, which you do see a little bit of.
Yeah, there's a touch of that.
And with the weapons transforming and stuff, some of them have some steam.
There's like a lot of like gears and like rivets
is
a word that comes to mind when I think of Bloodborne. And there's not really necessarily steam, but it's very like old school mechanical, like levers and stuff like that.
And you've got like top hats and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And if you beat the game without dying, you get the tallest top hat.
Yes.
Yes. Perfect. I love that. Yeah.
But it's in first person, so you
never see it. Yeah. But people talk about it.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, nice hat.
Nice hat.
Before they say, help.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm into it.
Yeah. But I'm not, like, aesthetically, like, I'm drawn to, like, dark Victorian or dark medieval, gothic. Like, I like XCOM a ton, but it's one of the few, like, futuristic type games that I like, because I'm not drawn to it, but the actual gameplay of that game draws me in. So
I can see that.
I'm into it. A similar aesthetic, I think, is like BioShock. Like I love the worlds in BioShock, and like in Infinite, they connect all of them with the lighthouse idea that like there's not just the two that we've seen, but there's, you know, I think they connect. Do they connect? what's the shoot? The name has completely left my brain. The original game,
System
that,
Shock.
System Shock. Mm-hmm. I think they connect the System Shock world.
Mm-hmm. Do to they that. Really?
I think so.
Hmm.
Yeah, at the end.
Of I remember the Infinite. End scene. I don't remember System Shock. I remember like seeing.
They don't explicitly say System it. Shock, but there's like some kind of through line with the fiction in System really? Shock to cool. kind of insinuate it. But basically, there are hypothetically an infinite amount of Bioshocks that you can go to mm-hmm. and different themes and stuff.
Yeah.
And thinking about like, I would love to revisit even just the two worlds that we've seen in Bioshock and thinking about like what I like about those and what I don't like. And what I like about those is how weird and twisted all the different characters are. I love the setting, like the aesthetics are all really interesting. The powers that you get and like the fiction behind where those powers come from, like the genetic experiments and modifying yourself, all that stuff is really interesting to me. The thing that always stops short for me in Bioshock games is the combat mechanically is really interesting with all the powers and the weapons and all that stuff, but it never feels great to me mm-hmm. to actually use them.
Mm-hmm.
So a really interesting genre shift for me would be like Bioshock as a deck builder.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be super interesting. And like, if you've ever seen like Slay the Spire, where you're like,
yeah,
you're on a, your character starts on a map that's like a grid and you, there's all these interconnected points where multiple lines of travel will go to different areas. So you pick what direction you want to travel as you go up this path. And it'll tell you like, this is a, this, if you go to this point, an event will happen. But if you go to this point, a fight will happen.
Okay.
So you kind of are telegraphed a little bit, but not fully like what you can expect to run into. And there'll be like a merchant or whatever. With Bioshock, it lends itself so easily to that formula of like, here's a vending machine. Here's some survivor that might offer you something or whatever. But as a deck builder, you can mix and match all the different mutations. And maybe like when you get multiple mutations, two different cards will. So like hypothetically, as the mutation system, like maybe two different cards, when you have both of them in your deck at the same time, will merge into a different unique card.
Yeah. Mm.
Like there's lots of really interesting ways that you can use the fiction of those games to make a deck builder that feels different.
I'd like to see the vending machines. You pull them and you get
and
booster packs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that would be really cool. It's like,
that
would be awesome. And seeing like, you know, like the piano guy that's like he like, has the dynamite strapped to him or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah.
there's so many different characters that are just unhinged
yeah.
that would have really interesting mechanics as their deck.
Mm-hmm.
And like translating all of that stuff, I think would be really fun. Yeah. I think it's just like, it's almost right there. Mm-hmm. Like I could basically make that game in my head.
Right.
Anyway, just like translating the mutation mechanics into something unique that makes it stand out a little bit. The rest of the work is basically done by the fiction and the personality.
Are you picturing something symmetrical like Magic the Gathering or asymmetrical like Netrunner?
That's a really good question, honestly. I hadn't really thought about it, but I think it might be more interesting to see something asymmetrical, but that's like very subjective. Mm-hmm. I like asymmetrical games. I think they're more compelling. But if you're going to do something that's like, you know what you could do that might be very interesting? I was going to say if it's symmetrical, then whenever you beat a boss or whatever, you can take some of their cards.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's asymmetrical, where their deck plays in a completely different way,
mm-hmm.
if they could design it to where you take cards from that, or maybe you can adopt those mechanics and say like, well, this person's style, if you want to swap the two, like you don't use your old style anymore, you take their deck and now you're using that and it works better against this boss's style or whatever, where you can constantly mix and match different types of play against other types of play.
Yeah.
And that adds a lot of replay value. And I think that would be really cool to explore, and you can still get unique cards from vending machines for each type of deck or whatever, but it gives you cards for the deck you're using.
I'd like to have loadouts. So if you fight a boss with a unique style, you can just switch to it. You can lose and switch to another strategy and try something and have the tempo feel a lot different.
That would be cool. Or you could even mix and match them where different cards function differently, where your deck is asymmetrical, where certain parts of your deck function differently and don't interact in the same way with other cards when you play them.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would actually look like mechanically, because I've never seen a game do that.
What I want...
Tons of potential.
What I would like to see a card game do is add some cooperative play, like with a storyline, to have two decks
you like Infinite is right there. Yeah. Like there are two characters all the way through Infinite, mm-hmm. I think. So yeah. like that's perfect for
yeah.
her deck interacts with your deck or mm-hmm. his deck interacts with your deck or however
like you want. Like a single player version of the game and then a two player version of the game.
Yeah.
To mix it up
and, yeah.
and to see different decks interacting with
each other. You could just do like jump in, jump out co-op.
Yeah.
Where that deck is played by an AI unless somebody wants yeah. to jump in and play it with you.
Yeah.
That would That's be cool.
Good, like you could build your AI deck and it plays itself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually an awesome idea.
Yeah.
That you can let them handle it, kind of like an RPG where you're like, mm-hmm. you guys pick your own attacks. I don't
right. care. Yeah.
Or you can directly control all that yeah. stuff. Yeah. And I've never seen a deck builder do that either. Mm. So.
But Bioshock's a great
franchise.
Yeah.
IP. Option. Yeah. Which marketing term you want to use.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. yeah.
It's that's a great cool. theme.
Yes.
For yeah. a deck builder.
Yeah. When I thought of deck builder, I was like, I love deck builders. What game do I think would really click with that genre?
Would you like to see
Bioshock was like right there.
Would you like to see like creature type cards? Like you would draw like a Big Daddy card or a Little Sister? Or would you just like to see like you draw like modifications?
So if you're thinking about this, I don't want to get too deep down the rabbit hole for people who are not.
Yeah, that's right.
I appreciate that. It's much better than me talking and no one is interacting yeah. with this idea at all. Yeah. But, like, I mean, you could have a Big Daddy deck
yeah.
that is, like...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Magic the Gathering, it's called White Weenies, is uh-huh. where it's really weak, like, 1/1 cards where they have uh-huh. one strength and one attack, but you have so many of them that you just overwhelm your opponent.
Uh-huh.
A Big Daddy could have a bunch of the Little Sisters that, like, flood the deck
uh-huh.
and,
yeah.
like, attack you all at once or whatever, because that yeah. fits perfectly with
the convention. No, that's very cool.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of really cool ideas.
You could get the resource. What's it called that the little sisters, you know, use
Eve, their syringes? They have the little right? syringe.
Eve?
Yeah, I think it is.
Adam and Eve.
You could have that as a resource to, like, buy booster packs and things like that.
Ooh, yeah. that's an interesting idea. That yeah. there's, like, a risk
that's
reward.
Cool. Yeah.
As you move through the path, yeah. you if you interact with them, you can choose to, like, help them or hurt them and take the Eve.
Yeah.
And each time you yeah. take the Eve, you increase the chances that yeah. a Big Daddy will show up on the yes. board.
Some things just built in, no-brainer type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I changed my idea to that.
Okay. Hey, that's our second idea we both thought.
That's right. No, that's awesome. I love
that. All right, Talon, it's back to you.
All right. I don't know how you guys are going to think about this one. Mm.
That's how I feel about my third choice as well.
Okay. Well, what was my second?
It is going to be the one I'm talking about, and everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
Who cares about this?
So, obviously, you guys have inspired me to get into the strategy
mm-hmm.
genre.
Well, let me guess. You want to take a strategy game, though? And take it somewhere else.
No. I want to take Resident Evil and put it into XCOM.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's what I want.
That would be cool.
Because, like... So
that would be... I'm picturing
Because
it.
You could go and you could, like, infiltrate buildings mm-hmm. and save the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And you could control your unit.
And then you have and then base you could management have, with the survivors where you, like, mm-hmm. assign them tasks.
And yeah. stuff. And then you could have, like, Nemesis and, like, break through the walls. In, and, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's already built in, but, like, obviously more horror-themed. But, like, when I was going back and playing through XCOM, I was like, man, I would love this.
Mm-hmm.
That's Resident how I feel about Evil. XCOM, because I just love the gameplay of XCOM.
Yeah.
But I would love to see... thematically it change.
yeah
While there are some great designs and I love some of the designs in XCOM, mm-hmm. yeah, I would like a Resident Evil would be way yeah. more up my alley.
Yeah I think that would be cool. Have yeah. like the liquors on the ceiling and you're like trying to mm-hmm. be quiet. I don't know, there's just so many cool things I think that you could do with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Destructible environments specifically loved, you know,
Mutant Year Zero, I think is what it's called.
Okay, yeah, I haven't played that one. I played their other game.
You should play it. I think
Miasma
it's
Chronicles. Did you play that?
Oh, one? I've never.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
it was on my wish list.
I think I played the mm-hmm. demo for me as
well. Yeah,
I
got about 15 hours in, and I kind of.
I think that's kind of that. That's
it looks
the vibe
really
I've
good,
gotten from Mutant Year Zero is that like, it starts really strong, but it stops doing new
I
stuff
had fun the whole way through.
Oh, okay,
okay.
I beat Year Zero, and I didn't put it down.
Okay.
For like a week and yeah. like I would.
I get Mutant Year. I just realized this. I'm mixing Mutant Year Zero mm-hmm. in my head with whatever that game was. It's like an action shooter game where you mutate. You're an animal and you can mutate your body.
That's that game you played. What is that game called? Where you play as like a bunny.
Everybody rabbit? Was talking about how good it was. Yeah, like you modify parts of your body to like make you jump higher and or run faster or whatever.
You said it feels like it could use a couple patches and then you think it would get better.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Oh, cool. Man. Where you play as like a cat.
It's like bio.
Or like a bunny.
Biomutant.
Biomutant.
Like
oh, biomutant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what.
Are okay. You pretending to know what we're talking
about?
So you
are mixing
Mutant Zero with
Biomutant. I pre-ordered Biomutant and was... Just
well, I remember reading articles about it, and they were like, "This is the next one, boys. This is gonna be huge."
This was like Fable at yeah, all. I was picturing Fable, but with you're like a little animal, and you get to create your own animal, and you're in this world of cute animals.
No, it's not Spore mixed with Fable. No,
and it was just an okay game.
Yeah,
it could have used a few patches, and I think actually the game is, and it has a pretty big community that still love them. Yeah. Like they still love that game, and they've patched a few things to fix some major complaints, but
okay.
I don't get on it.
From what I've, I was just saying, like when you were talking about Mutant Year Zero, in my head, I was like, and then you like mutate parts of your body, and I don't think
Mutant Year Zero is
it's just like
a,
anthropomorphized animals.
It's an adventure game, and you do have like an overworld map, and you travel between points, but like each point is a pretty big explorable area.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you have like you.
Is it really stealth?
It's grid.
Okay. Because it works like XCOM, right? The combat
is grid-based, but when you're moving around in the world, it's not.
Yeah, free form.
It's very stealth-oriented
to
position your units.
Sorry, I'm not trying to derail you. I'm just trying to get a clear idea of...
Yeah, and that's how Miasma Chronicles is.
Yeah.
So, you can basically take all the enemies out through stealth before you even start...
Correct.
Or you can never even start the combat at all,
exactly.
As long as you take them all.
You could do
stealth
that. And then if you have the DLC for Mutant Year Zero, you got the moose guy. Which was great. Mm. He was like a big brute dude.
Gotcha.
To bring it back around.
Oh, yeah.
Please. Are those the kind of like stealth elements? Like a big part of the Resident Evil franchise is conserving ammo, using resources as sparingly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like definitely getting by enemies if you can.
Right.
Like
yes.
How much of that do you want to play into this XCOM variant?
I think that would be.
And like, what does that look like
to you? I would even like to like stealth kills. Like I would like them to go all out. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think so it should focus on resource management like Resident Evil does.
Oh, 100%.
And you need to figure out which fights to tackle and which fights to move on.
I think that's a big part of like basically the loop in my head is you save people and then while you're out you there's like a risk reward element of trying to get as many resources as possible before you have to get out.
Here's another thing.
Because zombies are going to keep coming, right? You don't clear out the zombies.
Right, yeah, of course. And of course, if you make sounds, they're going to be more.
I do, bro. Why do you think the world's safe right now?
I've solved that game different ways.
But that would be incredible. But I would also like Valkyrie Chronicles. You ever played that?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever played that?
Big fan of Valkyria Chronicles.
I am not sure if I've played
it. Okay. Well, once
I know
you,
the name is very familiar.
So you've got your AP points, your action points. Once you change into different characters, you actually move around the world 3D, like in a third-person view.
I think I've just looked at this game a lot.
So you can move around in the 3D instead of it just being like you still see the overworld, right? You still see it. But then once you take action of your character, you can actually aim in third person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like it goes from like almost like an isometric camera to a third person shooter camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
And I think Resident Evil would benefit from that in that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know,
I'd be down.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, just like an XCOM when they have like the pipes on the wall and you can climb up them. It's like, well, what if you do that in third person? You know what I mean? And then
this is cool. It's like the longer I'm thinking about this, the more like an actual structure is like taking shape of what.
I always
think about games from the framework of like, what is the loop? Like, I know I talk about that all the time on this podcast, but like, that's just the easiest way for me to structure what a game looks like in my head and like what makes it good or bad is like, what parts of this loop break down? And for this game, I'm thinking like, you go into extraction zones. You have to save X number of people and survive or you fail the mission.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you have like these sub missions of like activating like a cell tower so you can send a distress signal or whatever and gathering resources and stuff. There's always zombies, but like the longer you stay to gather resources, the more likely it is that like the tyrant will show up and you just can't kill the tyrant.
Right.
So like... In that context, that sounds...
Yeah. And then it becomes an evacuation.
Super fun to
be and then you're getting out.
It's like, okay, drop everything. We've got to leave right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And where it's like you try to go in stealthy, you know, just like yeah. XCOM. And then it's just like, as soon as they see you, it just goes insane. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So I don't, I always, when I go back and have to edit these podcasts,
yeah.
I'm like, Jared, stop taking over everyone else's.
No, picks. Not at all, dude.
But
no.
I just get like, I get really into the idea and I'm like building on it in my head. And I'm like, what about
yeah.
this?
Yeah. What about this? Yeah.
And
what
then I'm this? Like, okay, yeah. cut this 15-minute segment out. That's not Taylan's idea at
the
all.
The viewers have not got to listen to hours of
at least a couple hours of content of me just being like, do you guys like this idea? Yeah, it's awful.
That's why we love you, Jared.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that, even if you don't mean it.
No, but you would like to see, as far as like XCOM has like the hub, which is like mm-hmm. your ship.
I would love that. I want like Chris Redfield to be like the leader, commander, because he controls the BSAA or whatever, and you just have troops.
Yeah.
You can just send them out.
Well, are you thinking more of a hub world like in Marvel, Midnight Suns?
Or no, I would totally take XCOM
this,
style.
Okay. Did you guys ever play this War of Mine?
Mm-hmm.
I think about that, because that house that you're in, you constantly have to be upgrading it for the new people that are coming in and getting new resources to sustain them, or they'll just leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's constantly being attacked by people, not zombies in that game, but zombies would be attacked. So you need the resources to like board up your windows and like reinforce the walls or whatever. Like,
but you could even make a choice. It's like, if you have, like, if you're in the third person view, like in Valkyrie Chronicles, and you're looking and you're one of the military guys and you have two people, two survivors, right? One is injured, one is not. And it's like, what if they're bitten, but you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, I'm not bitten. You have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
XCOM does something similar where you're trying to save citizens, but some of them are aliens. And when you get close, they transform.
Yeah. And then you have to fight them. Okay, cool. So well, I think it is simple.
Something that way, it's kind of similar to what
you're talking about. Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
So
that would be cool. I'd buy that instantly.
Yeah. I just think that they get that. Because they've done like on-rail shooters, obviously first person shooters now, and they've done so many different games, and it's like, why haven't they done this?
Not all of them have turned out great.
Nope, especially off.
But I mean, so far we've all been taking like universes and we're like, can we add a strategy element to these universes?
We have a brand.
Base, card base, you know. Settlement management.
The superior genres is what you're saying. The cream
not
of the crop.
Not necessarily, but it's just like, there's just so much potential for the genres, and they're not, I feel like they're not executed to their potential.
Yeah.
I don't know, a lot of times. You see a lot of them flop.
Yeah.
But then some really shine, like Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I agree.
XCOM, things like that. But
yeah.
I've heard that game's good.
Mm-hmm. But even some XCOM, like, is it Firaxis?
Mm-hmm.
Some of their games flop, like the Phoenix game.
Oh, is it Operation Phoenix? Am I coming up with a totally fake name? Yeah.
Phoenix Point is not a Firaxis game, but it's from like the original creators.
What's the one game they came out with after XCOM and it flopped? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know, because it
Classified?
Flopped.
No, it's not an XCOM universe.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
What was the style of the game? Like, what was
XCOM.
Oh, it was an XCOM style game.
Yeah.
It's probably Phoenix Point. But, like, if you go look to see who developed it, it doesn't say Firaxis. It says something. It says, like, from the people who created XCOM.
Oh, so maybe it's like a split off. Firaxis and maybe that's their own game.
Yeah, it's definitely Phoenix Point.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's why it flopped.
Developed by
three people from Firaxis were like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Apparently they couldn't. I never played Phoenix Point, so I don't actually know. I'm not speaking from experience.
Yeah, I've never played it either.
It was intended to be a spiritual successor to the XCOM series.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Was the percentage to hit accurate in Phoenix Point? Because that's going to move the needle for me a lot.
I never played it. It had really mixed reviews when I went to play it. They were saying this game needs lots of patches. Like I said, they said gameplay wise.
So it is a Firaxis game.
Yeah. They said gameplay wise it was fantastic, but they would have tons of bugs where they had to restart their game entirely.
That sucks.
Over.
I always hate that.
Crashes constantly, things like that. I don't know where it is at this point. That was at release. Could be stable now.
Okay.
But yes, they flop. And
I imagine that game is probably. I would have heard about it if it had gotten to a better point. So I'm going to assume not so great. But it's you, Ryan. You're next.
I'm going to switch it up again.
Okay. Switch it up.
Please do. Keep us on our toes.
Yeah. I love this.
But talking about how I like games that are dark, creepy, gothic
type souls things. All things souls you thing. Love. Yeah.
Little Nightmares is a world that captivated me.
I'm already in. I don't even care what it is. I'm already in.
I'm like, what other genre could you do with Little Nightmares?
I want a third person.
You know what other game captivated me?
Uh-huh.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Mix them. Okay. I want a 3D platformer in the Little Nightmares universe. World. And I know you get 3D movement in the Nightmares, but you pretty much move left and right.
Correct.
But I want a world with collectibles and is on, like, when you're looking mechanically at it, you're like, oh, this is like a Mario game.
Yeah.
So I want it to be creepy and dark, and you have all these like hidden creepy secrets and tunnels and like things you find, but in the Little Nightmares universe.
Yeah.
And
so, what are the collectibles you're finding?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
The little gnomey guys or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like, is it two where you collect hats? You can find little secret hats and you put the different hats on your character.
I think so.
I think it's two. And I never found all of them, but got close. I was missing like two hats.
Yeah.
Obviously, that wouldn't be very good as a jumping around like that.
No. I love that idea. It's fully 3D. You might as well lean into it. Wear all the hats at once.
All the hats.
Every hat you find, you put on your head.
But I think 3D platformer, like, it's a genre that I think I said in a previous episode, like, they nailed at the get-go with, like, Banjo-Kazooie, Mario 64. Like, these games just, like, sold and hit with and made such a huge impact on the gaming community.
Right.
And you've kind of seen them, they've died, you know.
I think at the time, that was, like, the best way to demonstrate how technologically advanced your game was, because that was kind of the pinnacle of game design before. It was an evolution of the best that they had before, which is usually like a side scroller or whatever. So I think once fully 3D games came around with open worlds, like multi-dimensional worlds in terms of what direction you can go, then that stuff became less prominent. So now it's like, this is a great opportunity. I mean, it is a side-scroller. Turn it into the next logical evolution.
Yeah, I want a fully explorable world, but it doesn't make sense to take Little Nightmares and add a ton of combat.
Right.
So I imagine it's still going to be a game about avoiding these people that are like reaching out at you in a singular...
Yeah, you don't want to go back to where you just were, because it was bad.
Well, and how do you translate that mechanic of like hiding in a 3D world?
I want a 3D platformer that's like thematically different than any other 3D platformer. Like, they haven't gone
not bright and sunny like most.
You don't
of
yes are you and saying I you don't even necessarily want Little Nightmares as a 3D platformer, but you want that type of atmosphere.
I love the design of the world of Little Nightmares, and I would like to see that taken. And you're not,
it's very striking. I do think it has a lot of,
it's got like swampy areas, it's got like city areas, you're like in a lot of basements, or you're like in some of them, one of them you're in like a restaurant,
and right,
like you're like in a kitchen, and then you're in like an elevator, and there's a lot of potential for just like different environments for a 3D platformer, like you would see in like Mario 64. They have all these different levels with different themes, and same thing with Banjo. So you have a lot of potential for that, but I wouldn't necessarily take, I think you would maybe play as a different style of character, a little more, you know,
mobile.
Yeah,
let's just keep the theme going. Base building. You have to go gather supplies.
You gotta collect cards.
You need a place to keep all your hats.
And this wouldn't be like a game that takes 100 hours to beat.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be some game that I think would be for everyone. Like Yooka-Laylee.
Well, these games aren't for everyone. Yeah. These are our games.
Like,
that's true.
I'm the only person buying your game.
Yeah.
Need you to spend $20 million on
making it
a Little Nightmare sequel.
Like, Yooka-Laylee came out and I was excited. Because it was like the team behind Banjo-Kazooie, and they're making this spiritual successor type game. But it didn't really like.
But they forgot how to do that.
Yeah. It was like, well, I'm older now, and this just feels like a game. It doesn't feel like Banjo. I guess it wasn't. It didn't have Banjo in it, and that would maybe hit more nostalgically for me.
Yeah.
So Yooka-Laylee didn't really.
I don't think that's I think this is a design problem, though.
Yeah.
Because if you ever played Mario Odyssey or Kirby in the Forgotten Land, those are platformers, and those are really good.
Not Kirby in the Forgotten Land. I haven't played
that. That one's Odyssey is incredible. What you're saying is kind of much. I don't want to say it in a way that's derogatory, but like you're not talking about specific mechanics that you want in this case.
No.
You're literally just saying like, why doesn't someone make a really creepy, unsettling platformer that is a
reminiscent 3D world of Little Nightmares
with mechanics like jumping and puzzle solving and stuff like that?
Because I think graphically that game would translate well graphically to a 3D platformer.
I agree. Like
I think it would look really cool.
Yeah, that world is awesome.
Yeah,
like with the
I just want to be able to explore it better.
Yeah, the teacher.
Yeah,
the
crazy and that's all Nick. I want. Like I think 3D platformers have a great way of exploration is the draw,
right?
And the way you explore, you have mechanics to explore, which I like.
Yeah,
and I would like to see that more developed in a 3D environment than the 2D environment you get.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
Little Nightmares.
No, that's a great.
Although I think Little Nightmares is amazing.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I would love to see a scary open world platformer.
Yeah,
I there has to be one out there somewhere, but I can't think of any off the top.
Not
of my
one
head,
that's so. Has a good budget.
Yeah,
and you know.
Or such a like part of what makes Little Nightmares as popular as it is that they nailed the aesthetic. Like
correct.
It is very compelling to look at just on its face. So
yeah,
I agree. And it's very creepy. Just like. Usually those types of things, like you said, just don't have the budget to really seal the deal.
Like to see, you know, the level in Little Nightmares, I think it's 2, where you're having to move on the little wooden platforms and there's this water creature trying to grab you. To have that with the camera angle of a 3D platformer
Incredible.
Would be an intense level.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Too spoopy. Can't do it, man. I'll watch you do it.
And if you go underwater.
Yeah.
Don't make it. That thing please don't make a giant fish swim towards me. I hate that so much. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Ryan, I think that's a really interesting idea. Like,
I
appreciate that it is left field.
Yeah.
I would not have
thought of agreed.
That. Yeah.
It's very cool.
I didn't come up with it because I thought it would be original. It's just something that I legitimately
want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me that.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Give me that.
Mine is, okay, so. I'm going to have to start from scratch on this one because I know neither one of y'all are involved in this genre.
Okay.
Maybe you'll take me totally by surprise.
You're so wrong.
So for those who don't know, I'm a big fan of F1 racing. I love watching F1.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the politics of F1 and all that stuff. Taylan, wake up.
And for those of you that don't know, F1 is race cars, but they're
Formula One racing.
It is the
race car you probably think of when you think of a race car,
mm-hmm.
unless you watch racing and then you think of whatever you
watch.
It's
not the car you think of when you think of NASCAR.
Open wheel, which means the wheels are exposed. Yeah. There's nothing over the wheels like you would have with a normal car. They're very big tires, and they got a big spoiler on the back, and their nose is like a little fin that goes down.
Okay.
It's got
a point.
They're the fastest cars, period. They go very, very fast.
Yeah.
That's not super relevant, but I'm just saying I play a game called Motorsport Manager, and the whole point of the game is that you run a Formula One team.
I know of
you're the
game.
Principal,
and
the thing is like, so you go on the races and you decide the strategy for the driver. You tell them when to be aggressive, when to pit and change their tires, when to conserve their fuel, all that stuff.
Yeah,
and that's during the races, and then depending on how well you perform, your sponsors will give you bonuses if you finish in a higher place or whatever. You use that money to upgrade your base to get new equipment that lets you understand the wind resistance on your car better so that you can make it faster or whatever, and upgrade the battery, upgrade the engine, you upgrade everything. And you have components like opening a merchandise store so that you can sell merch or whatever. And the whole thing is just simulating what it would be like to run an F1 team.
Mm-hmm.
I want that, but with Need for Speed. I think...
Okay. So you want to take it underground?
I want to take it underground.
Okay.
Nice.
And you want the track to be dope.
So I've thought about this way too much because there's really not very many games like this. F1 has its own management game, but they're all just Formula One. Like some of them have like GT racing cars, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about street racing, not circuit racing.
Okay.
And I want to see like a really cool scenario where like you used to be a street racer but like somebody in a race like cheated and ran you off the road, and now you're handicapped, like you're crippled or whatever, and you can't race anymore.
Gotcha.
So, but you want revenge? Sure.
That seems ableist. I'm cutting that out of the podcast. Yeah. You're in trouble now. You're in podcast jail.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. You could. Maybe you're just a real bad guy. Uh-huh. You know what? I like that.
Or a girl.
You're just. Man, now I'm ableist. Now I'm in jail. But like you still want revenge on this dude, and now that guy has gone on to like run this circuit of underground racing in the city that you live in or whatever.
Okay.
So you want to train the next generation of drivers to beat this guy and like make his empire crumble or so whatever.
You gotta cheat now.
So you're using your money to sure. You're using your money to like give these drivers like to teach them how to be better racers, and you're managing them and blah blah blah, and like as you progress you can get more drivers in your workshop, you upgrade it, all that stuff. But like I also want to trick out my car. I want to see really cool looking cars with like, you know, like the old Need for Speed Underground where it's like neon lights on everything.
Right.
Literally, you could like upgrade your speakers in your car for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why. But just like seeing.
Gotta be bumping,
like,
bro.
Yeah, you could open the trunk.
Yeah, there was literally like a display mode where all the doors would open at once and you could just see all this. So dumb.
Yeah.
But like. Drift races, like different formats and different drivers are good at different types of races, whether it's drag racing or drift racing or circuit racing or whatever. Yeah. And you can upgrade which of those elements they're good at or whatever. And as they go on, you kind of accumulate other people who've maybe gotten burned by this guy and they want to help you or whatever. Like it is a very straightforward premise, but I just think it would be so cool. I also just really like dioramas. So to see like this zoomed out version of the race where you're seeing like all these little cars like drifting around like mountain roads and stuff as it goes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see a good Need for Speed Underground game again.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there.
That's cool. Yeah.
That is cool.
I think that's
unexpected.
Yeah, unexpected. Interesting.
That's a great. That's a great idea.
It's not a game that would be like if I saw some advertisement for it, I would be super pumped for it. Mm-hmm. But it's like
it's the game that I'm like, hey Ryan, have you seen this game?
Yeah, it's like a game that I would be. It feels like a game I would be surprisingly into once I did get it on sale on Steam for pretty cheap, and be like, oh wow, I would have paid full price for this. Yeah.
There's a mobile version of Motorsport Manager. I think it's like $4 or something. There's no ads. I don't think there's any microtransactions or stuff. So if you ever want to see if that kind of genre is interesting to you, it's a pretty cheap buy-in. Mm-hmm. And I've played that game all the way through like 5 times.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Hmm. Cool.
But there's no drifting.
Oh.
Sorry, guys.
Bummer.
You cannot customize your speakers. And I've emailed them several times. No response.
So many letters.
You use strong words. You got to use strong words.
Don't look at my calendar for the week. It's like... email Motorsport Manager every Wednesday the last 6 years.
Yeah.
That's my third. That's my last
Not what I expected.
I tried to throw a little curveball in
there. Yeah, that's a good one. So my last one is PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Yeah.
As
a game that still exists.
As a
the genre is successful.
Yeah. Which was a platform fighter.
Mm-hmm. A lot like Super Smash Bros.
I think that was the wrong way to go.
Yeah.
I think they should have gone...
Arena.
Oh my gosh.
Either Arena or...
Taylan, you can't change your
idea. Well, no, because I had thought about it because I wasn't sure exactly where I wanted to go. Or a Marvel Ultimate Alliance style. Where it's like Marvel Ultimate Alliance is like a 3D brawler. Yeah. You have lots of enemies and you can... have a bunch of different characters.
Like a beat-em-up?
Like a beat-em-up. Kind of like that.
The old TMNT games?
But in an actual...
Not side-scroller.
Not side-scroller. But yeah.
In the, like when you first said...
In that kind of space.
Ultimate Alliance, I was thinking like story-driven.
Yeah.
And then I'm picturing Crash Bandicoot and like the guy from Siphon Filter. Just beating people up together.
Right.
Just tranking enemies basically. And then Crash Bandicoot jumping on
the
head.
Well, I mean, they have their own like story and they have a lot of cutscenes and stuff where they're trying to infiltrate.
Is it team thing?
It's usually like you have four characters.
It's like four player co-op.
You can do four player co-op, which co-op. There you go. It's already built in.
I'm trying to think of like how would you merge this aesthetic? But I guess
you could go to the world.
Maybe the aesthetic is that you don't merge them. Maybe the whole point is to lean into how weird it is that they're all in the same universe.
Each world has a different aesthetic based on, you know, where you're going.
Right, where you're going, exactly. Yeah. Of course, you've got to do this to keep the universe from exploding, you know, some kind of mulligan or...
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, you don't need a real complex story.
No, no. But the one thing that was nice about PlayStation All-Stars is that there was, like, rivals. Like, Sweet Tooth and Kratos were rivals. And so anytime you had them fight... Kratos. Against one another, they'd always have like an intro scene and they'd be like, and they'd say some kind of, you know,
like the DC ones,
right? Yeah, kind of like
they would like trade barbs at each other before they fought.
Yeah, and Daxter would say something to Clank, and it was always, you know what I mean? It's just like they have a lot of
I'm
cool
the real sidekick. That's maybe the worst voice impression I could
do.
No,
that
was spot on.
That was great, man. We'll send that to Naughty Dog. But
it's funny that Naughty Dog is
the same people. Who
same did. People.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
From the people who brought you Uncharted and The Last of Us is a bunch of dudes beating stuff up.
But so I just want that.
Yeah.
I just think they have so many cool characters and I just want to put them in the same world. And now that they have Stellar Blade, they've got Horizon Zero Dawn. Mm-hmm. They've got all these other fantastical characters.
Yeah, but that was
tons of DLC packs.
That was PlayStation's response to Smash Brothers,
right? And it flopped horribly.
Yeah,
because they didn't take what made Smash Brothers great.
I mean, Smash Brothers perfected that formula.
Yeah, and they were like, "We're gonna do our own thing. We're gonna have finishers." And it was like, "Dude, it's lame, bro."
Yeah.
So
yeah. I would contribute more to your idea, but there's like so many different things that you could do with that I really don't even know where to start.
Have you played the Darksiders game that's like that? It's two-player co-op. It was, I think it flopped, but it was actually pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Like,
but I want like exploration and I want the camera to be like behind the characters. I don't want, because Marvel Ultimate Alliance, it's like kind of isometric a little bit.
When Marvel Ultimate Alliance came out, that was my jam.
Yeah.
Me and Andrew, my buddy from high school, I would play it to the point where he fell asleep, and then I would notice his character just stopped moving, and I'd look over and he's passed out. I'm like, I guess it's time to get off.
I guess it's time. Yeah. Or you just grab two controllers.
I played a little bit of the second one, but for some reason I don't think it hit.
The third one's on Switch now.
Did something similar with Marvel, not Ultimate Alliance, but they did like an MMO that was a beat 'em up. And I actually loved that game, and then it's gone now. But I would like to see them do another something one like that, where it's like, but if you get enough characters, it's effectively like you could make a pretty cool MMO if you had like 20 different Sony characters that are all, because that's almost too many. It's never too many for a beat 'em up, but to have that level of variety, it's like you kind of end up in a situation where it's wasted effort because someone's going to find the character they like
and never play any of the characters.
Yeah. And there's 18 characters they've never tried.
Yeah.
But I mean, either way, I think that game would be super satisfying. You could have really cool skill trees for each character that are like,
well, that was what was cool about Marvel Ultimate Alliance is you switch characters and you have all different skills and stuff, and you can swap those skills out with other
Seeing
skills.
How those characters mix and match is really interesting.
Yeah, and you could do like team up attacks, and then if you had, you could do like an all-out attack.
Did that one have Finn and Jake characters? In it? The PlayStation All-Stars? I'm getting it mixed
Finn
up.
Finn and Jake?
I'm getting it mixed up with the other
Multiverse.
That's the other one that Multiverse.
Multiverse. I was getting it mixed up. As I said, I said Landaboo earlier.
That game is on indefinite hiatus.
Yeah.
While they...
They keep sending me emails.
Really?
They're like, hey, a game's coming out soon.
Yeah. I've never played this game that you're talking about. PlayStation All-Stars. So it's the one with like Big Daddy. And
it's
got Metal.
Big Daddy.
It's got Solid Snake and stuff. Right?
It doesn't have Solid Snake. It's got...
who's the other one?
Who's the other one?
Does it have Snake?
Revengeance.
But Smash Brothers does. Yeah.
Revengeance.
Raiden.
It's got Raiden in it. And it's got Cat from Gravity Rush. And it's got a bunch of other crazy characters like Sweet Tooth and... Kratos,
Sweet Tooth
obviously.
From Twisted Metal.
Yeah. The Clown,
So I'm just like, they've got all these IPs and just put them in a universe together.
Okay. I think that's cool. Now I'm picturing something totally different than what I was picturing earlier. Yeah. Okay.
So
pretty cool.
Yeah, but
I'm into it.
I just want to do something.
Yeah, man, let me pick food off the ground and break barrels again.
I'd have to. I'd have to get a PlayStation to play it. I have a PS4, but not a PS5.
It's not on PS4 or PS5, unfortunately. You can't play. Well, actually, can only play it on PS3.
This game doesn't exist, okay. Ryan. The whole point is that we want these.
I'm talking about the. Yeah, I'm talking about this game. If it
came my PS3 out. And the copy of PlayStation Battle or All Stars is at my father-in-law's house.
Oh yeah.
My version of this game comes out on the PS3.
Man, it's crazy.
Exclusively.
PS
Vita. Go find one, bro.
The PSP. Vita.
Where's my charger?
Yeah.
I never get to play it. Yeah, that sounds dope.
Okay. Does that bring us to? An end?
That brings us to an end.
Okay. At end!
Well, tell them where to go, Taylan.
Where to go? I don't know. Where are they supposed to go?
They can go to Blue Sky. They can go to TikTok, as long as it's not banned. They can go to YouTube.
Good point.
Yeah. Check us out on all podcast platforms. No matter where you go, it's always going to be Did I Save Podcast.
Yeah.
And let us know what you want. If you want to email us questions, suggestions, whatever, if you just want to say, hey, you guys are the best podcast that's ever existed, and then you left us 5 stars, let us know at didisavepodcast@gmail.com.
Give us those likes on YouTube.
Yeah, if you just want to do the thumbs up is the one that you're looking for.
Yeah,
click that and then click subscribe. Smash that like button.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Whatever weird energetic delivery I'm supposed to give for that.
Right.
You nailed it.
The typical YouTuber shout out.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah. Let us know how we're doing.
And give us your ideas for genre changes.
Yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube, seriously, like what? I'm dying to know other people's suggestions.
You can email us your suggestions at didisavepodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
And we'll read them.
And we will read them. I've been checking them.
If you don't want to do that, drop it in the comments.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. We just want to hear from you.
Yeah, for sure.
Love a good idea that I can steal and pretend it's mine.
I'd love to bounce ideas off of ideas and
have a conversation. That's about why we're doing this.
Exactly.
That's exactly why we're doing this.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks for listening. We appreciate everybody.
Thanks to Sam Webster.
Thanks. I almost forgot.
Yeah.
Such a generous man for letting us use his songs, and I almost forgot to thank him.
Yeah.
Yes, our intro and outro song from Sam Webster. Great. Yeah. Just bangers.
Yeah.
Just
everything he does is great.
Yeah, everything he does is great.
But we have to go because it's 10 minutes till pizza.
Okay.
Pizza.
Okay, guys. The one thing we're willing to cut the podcast short for is pizza. So don't forget to save. Whatever. Bye.
Don't forget to save.
Don't forget to save you.